in Psalm 124. And I think it's important to just kind of recap a little bit some of the things that we talked about last week, because so vital as we move forward today. What we've been looking at is the strength and the steadfastness of the body of Christ. And as we come to a conclusion of this summer, it's amazing to even think that we're only a month away from school getting started again. There's the hustle and bustle of schedules, and people are taking their final vacations. And usually when we get into the youth ministry, going on their camping trip, we know that summer is coming to a close. But through all of that, something that has been really amazing here at Grace Fellowship Church is that we have seen a heart and a desire to impact and influence our community. Something that's going on here at Grace Fellowship, if you haven't marked it on your calendars, we're coming up in August, and we're going to be going into Scheide Park. If you're not familiar with where that is, that's the gazebo area that's right downtown. And we're going to go there, and we're going to be praying over the town. We're going to be praying over the leadership here. We're going to have a time of worship. And I had an opportunity to go to the city council meeting on Tuesday, and we sat there as they were talking about all of the things that took place in our community with this last flood. It was incredible. Many of the residents came to that meeting, and they stood there and they said, "You know, I've lived in my house for 25 or 30 years, and we've never seen anything like this. We've seen church run rise at different times, and we've had to deal with it, but nothing like this. It's been unprecedented." And the town leadership there just wanting to do what they can. And I know that some of you here in this in our congregation had some negative effects from the flood. And then while I'm sitting there and we're having that conversation, all of a sudden lightning and thunder starts happening right around 7:20. We're sitting there talking about all the things that were going on with that flood, and then another storm starts happening. The lights are flickering in the conference room, and the city manager, Neil Freitas, he says, "It looks like some more things are going to be happening." The mayor said, "If anybody needs to get up and leave, please feel free to do so. We won't consider it rude." And then we found out that there was additional flooding that was happening even in that moment. And I began to sit there and realize that what's happening is that, how many of you know that we live in a real world? Stuff happens, doesn't it? Things don't always go the way that we plan. And because of that, often what can happen is we can think, why is God doing XYZ to me? Why is God doing this thing? And something that I want to kind of ease your heart from having to worry about is that God is not doing anything to you. He's not doing anything. That's not how it works. What happens is that we live in a sinful, broken, fallen world, and bad things are going to happen to good people, and good things are going to happen to bad people, and life is going to carry on. The thing that marks a follower of Jesus Christ, watch this. The thing that marks a follower of Jesus Christ is how we handle the circumstances that come to us while we are living in this sinful and broken and fallen world. That's what makes somebody recognizable as a follower of Jesus Christ. And I believe that we are in a time and a season where people are going to begin to see some things that unroll before them. While we were out of town last month, there was a storm that came through. There was no flooding, but high winds, trees down everywhere. And we came home to a tree down in our backyard, and so we weren't really sure. It fell on some things that were in our neighbor's house, and so I didn't know how all that stuff worked out. I thought, well, it's a tree that I would call my tree, and it fell in their yard. You know, what do we have to do here? So I called up my insurance agent and was talking to them, and I said, okay, this tree fell, and what do we do? And they said, it's an act of God. It's like, really? So now our insurance companies understand that God goes around knocking down trees. And when God knocks down a tree, guess what? Nobody has to pay for it. Very, very interesting. It's an act of God. Isn't it interesting how an act of God is a negative thing? Did you ever think of that? When you're watching the news, it's an act of God. And usually an act of God is a bad thing. I want you to know this morning that an act of God is a good thing. It's a good thing. But I'm sitting there, I'm talking to them, I said, how are we supposed to move forward? What are we supposed to do? And they said, well, you don't actually own the tree when this happens. If you were cutting down the tree and it fell on their property, then you would have to do something. But because it was an act of God, nobody is responsible. Sounds like they're saying God is responsible, though, for those bad things that happen. But as we can see in the world that we live in, there are going to be circumstances that arise that are out of our control. And sometimes what can happen is our knee-jerk reaction, what I mean by that is our spiritual reflex, is then to say, well, I must have done something wrong. God must be trying to work something out in me. There must be some kind of lesson that God wants me to learn. There are certain elements to that mindset that have some truth to them. But because there might be some truth, people begin to say, well, then God created this circumstance so that I could whatever, and you fill in the blank. But I want you to know something today, that God is the one who is saying, you are in this circumstance. Will you depend on me? Will you lean on me? Will your faith bring you through this circumstance? Not, I'm going to throw this thing at you and see what happens. In other words, life is going to happen. I wonder if life has happened to any of you in the last 2 to 3 weeks. Has life happened? Has there been circumstances in your family, circumstances with property or whatever is going on in your life? Now what we have to do is we have to say, God, I am going to lean on you. I'm going to have my faith in you, and I'm not going to, and this is what we touched on last week, I'm not going to allow my circumstance to determine my relationship with you. And to underscore that, we looked in Psalm 124. And I want to read this to you. It's extremely important that we get the context of this so we can move forward in the theme of what we're talking about over these last couple of weeks. It says in Psalm 124, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, and they say it again, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us. In your Bible, if you mark in your Bible, which I happen to do, I have marker and pen and pencil and eventually I have to get a new one because all the marks are all blending together. But what we see here is it said in verse 2, when people rose up against us. I believe in the King James, I don't know if anybody has a King James Bible with them, but I think it says, when men rose up against our ways. When there was an effort being made to stand against us, what the psalmist is saying right here is it said, the Lord was on our side and people rose up against us. Come on, church, that'll preach all day long. That the Lord is for us, not against us. And listen to something that's really remarkable. This is Old Testament. This is Old Testament. This is not death, burial, resurrection, new understanding, new revelation. The psalmist understood that the Lord is on our side. Come on. That's powerful. If I could just take a moment and realize that God is actually for me, he's not against me. And then when a circumstance presents itself, it is not me going, okay, God, what are you doing to me? My mentality becomes, all right, Lord, I am in this circumstance. Draw me closer to you, Lord. I need you today. I need to grow from this circumstance. I need more of your power in me. I need a greater understanding of you. Because, God, I know something, that the Bible is true. The Bible says that you are on my side. You are for me. You're not against me. Listen to the complete thing it says. And so that's verse 2. And then it says in verse 3, let's catch it up with verse 2. When people rose up against us, verse 3 says, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us, when the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers, and the snare is broken, and we have escaped. Come on, church. This is the place at which we need to realize is that God is for us. He is not against us. I have that all marked up in my Bible. God, thank you for that truth. Thank you for that word. I searched and searched the other day, I think I shared this with you, for the exact picture of what I was looking for. I can't find it still. I found one, I think, I put out there on our social media page of a gazelle getting ready to spear a lion. I thought that was pretty good. These long horns and boom, right into the gut of the lion. I was like, yes! The gazelle has a chance! But I believe that what we need to come to a recognition of is to kind of help us in our growth with the Lord, not be so focused on God, why? But what I like to say in circumstances that I don't completely understand is I say, God, what? God, what is it that I can do? How can I be closer to you? What are some things, what are some steps that I can do to make sure that my life is closer to you? I am in this circumstance. It is out of my hands. The only thing I can do is I can look to you. And I love those verses. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord. And then the declaration, who made heaven and earth. And I could take you on a journey on how everything comes back to, we have to be able to recognize that God made this earth. God made you and I. And it is because of that authority that he has, that authorship, if I can take that with you and say, because he is the genesis of all that we are, he literally is in control. And we just need to be able to say, God, I turn my life completely over to you in this circumstance. I don't know if you know this or not, but the earth is not the way that God created it. It's not. You can just read Genesis 1 through 11 and you can find out that it was a pretty cool place. It was Hawaii everywhere. Everywhere. Which is very scientific because they find all kinds of like palm trees in like the North Pole. Imagine that, palm tree in the North Pole. That'd be pretty cool. Where are you going? I'm going to the North Pole. We're going to do some amazing sunbathing in the North Pole. You can still do that today. I don't recommend it. But there's this concept of that we have to be able to understand that the earth is now recovering from all of these things that took place, that God created it all, and then there was a flood that came, and the flood, the earth that we have right now, is an indication of how much God hates sin. When you're looking out over the Grand Canyon, when you're looking out over the desert that's in the Midwest, when you're going to these different places, what you're actually looking at is a giant scar of sin on this earth. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But at the same time, what we have to be able to recognize is that it is the hand and the blessing of God that saves us from those circumstances. So as we move on this morning, verse 8 is going to be kind of our focus. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So now, let's turn over to where we've been in 1 Thessalonians. I want you to see the place at which God is bringing us to this recognition. 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to start in chapter 4 this morning. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. We ask today that as we press on into all that you have for us, that we would recognize that we are created by you. The earth that we live on was created by you. Everything, Father, is about you. And we ask that our lives would glorify your name as we seek your face and as we go into the great place graces that you have for us. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 reads this way, "Finally, then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know," verse 2, "what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgresses and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you." Verse 7, "For God has not called us for impurity, but holiness." I'm going to read that one more time. "For God has not called us for impurity, but holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, do this more and more. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own business," he says affairs, "and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly for outsiders and be dependent on no one." This is a powerful proclamation to the church in Thessalonica. Thessalonica is a booming city. When I was introducing this section that we're talking about, Thessalonica is not some rural farming community. It was a large urban center that was actually had a number of temples, lots of paganism going on, lots of temples, and it was a kind of a centerpiece of the Greek Empire. The things that were going on at that particular time were very much focused on sacrifice, all kinds of things that were taking place. And in the midst of that, Paul makes a missionary journey, and this church gets planted. We read the account of this in the book of Acts when we started this series of how difficult it actually was. He got kicked out of the town just as he was about to make some headway, and he ended up staying there for 3 weeks. And in 3 weeks, he planted a church that is now has two letters that he wrote to it that's in Scripture. I think that's pretty impressive. He was there for 3 weeks. He faced all kinds of oppression. When it leaves, there's no clear indication that a church is actually going to take off. Not only did the church take off, but it became one of the most respected churches that Paul ever planted. That's pretty cool. That's impressive. That Paul would have this such an impact in this region that Thessalonica became the hometown of a church that just was incredible in his quiver of churches that he was planting. So we take that understanding, and then we say, what kind of condition did they find themselves in? And I want you to see that the same thing that was going on in the world there is still going on today. There was corruption. There was all kinds of sexual impurities going on. There was all kinds of strife within the government. There's terrible things that were going on all the time. And yet this church existed and was growing. And Paul says a couple of things about it that are just extremely incredible, where he says, in verse 9, he says, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write you," almost giving an indication that you guys have this down. You've got this part figured out on how to be kind to one another. But I love what happens is that Paul lets us know that we are never officially done with the task. And Paul says this, you see it there? He says, "I want you to do it more. I want you to take this thing that you're doing well And I don't want you to get too comfortable with it. I don't want you to think, well, we've arrived. We've got it all figured out. Now all we have to do is wait until Jesus returns. We're good. Instead, what he says is do this thing even more. For you yourselves, in verse 9, he says, have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing. Can I give a proclamation to Grace Fellowship Church? This church, you guys love each other. If there's a need, you're there. If there's something that's going on in our community, you're there. You want our the very purpose. Well, I don't know if I could take the leap of saying the purpose, but one of the great purposes of even our discipleship community groups is that not only are they getting together and challenging one another and getting into Scripture and fellowshipping together, but then they say, okay, we need, just like what you heard, we need to get out into the community. The birth of what was taking place with our Hope Chest was we have a desire to impact and touch this community, that we want to be able to be an active part of solving different issues and various things that are going on within our community. I don't know if you realize this or not, but that is one of the purposes that the church exists for. One of the charges that was given to the people that were, that there they were watching Jesus go, and one of the things that he said to them is, I charge you with this, to take care of the widows and the orphans. There's so many things that, that God could have said in that moment, that Jesus could have proclaimed to them to do, but he was saying, take care of the widows and the orphans. We are commanded as followers of Jesus Christ to not just exist within our own four walls. We are commanded to go out into this world. And so my question to you then becomes this: can a sick and broken person help a healthy person? And I would challenge you this way in that concept, is that broken people can help those who think they aren't broken. Broken people can help those who think they aren't broken. Why? Because we all are broken. We all are. We all have something that has been a severing of our relationship, either with someone physically or even with God. And it takes someone who has recognized that they could not get past where they are without Jesus Christ speaking that into the world. Not saying, I understand, you have everything all figured out, everything's good, life is good, and I don't know what else Jesus could do for you. I don't know too many people that talk that way. The reality is that Paul is writing to this church, and he's saying, there are some things that you are doing well, but please, whatever you do, don't stop doing them. I'm sitting in this city council meeting on Tuesday night, thunderstorm going on all around, and we had just on Sunday prayed with Renee and her husband Dave, and just know that God's doing a new transition here. And I don't know about you, but there's something I didn't know about. But one of the things that Renee was saying is that during the time of the Hope Chest, culture has kind of moved in a different direction. People are getting their clothing supplies in various ways. There's actually different things that have been springing up within our community that are working out really well, and there's a need that is being met that wasn't being met when the Hope Chest came along. And so now the process of transition and still wanting to reach out into the community and still wanting to do some things, and we've been having that conversation about what's going to be next. I'm sitting in the city council meeting, and I hear maybe this isn't news to you, maybe I'm behind the times here in Titusville moves so quickly. It's hard to keep up sometimes. But a Goodwill store is moving into where the Family Dollar used to be at the Drake Mall. I didn't know that. And I'm sitting there listening to this and going, how perfect is that? How perfect is that? We're phasing something out, and there's the, I don't know what his title was, but he was over Eastern Ohio, Western PA, Western New York, the Goodwill stores. They had gone to many tens of towns. It was like, I can't remember if it was like 15 or 20 towns. They had kind of looked and done the scope of where do we want to put our next Goodwill store. And he said, Titusville won out. We're going to be opening a store, and they want to open it before the Oil Fest here in August. And I mean, we don't need to cheer and clap for the Goodwill, but I'm just saying what's happening is that there's a transition that's taking place in our community that we were recognizing weeks ago and months ago, that we saw that because of the connection that we had within our community, there's opportunities for other things to take place. And now the heart and the passion is to continue, and if you know what I'm about to say, maybe you could join with me, but we want to continue to reach out, touch hearts, and change lives. That's what Grace Fellowship is here to do. And it's incredible to see that because something was working well in one season, something that just I cling to and I love about this congregation, that we are not offended to move and bend to the will of God. We are not offended. We love change. We love change. We thrive off of change. Change is what feels amazing. It's like, what? We're not going to do that anymore. What are we going to do now? We thrive off of it. And I believe that God is bringing us to a place and a season, just like what we're looking at here, where the Lord is saying, there are some things, are you ready? There are some things that Grace Fellowship Church is doing well. Are we the perfect church? Don't answer that. Do we have perfect leadership? Do we have perfect people that attend? Do we have perfect, is everything happening perfectly? That is not the point. The point is that we have a desire to impact the community that we live in. That's our desire. And how do we do that? Well, let's do it this way. Fantastic. Here we go. Let's jump on board. Let's see what the Lord is going to do. I had an opportunity to share with somebody. I don't think the Savindas are here this morning, but I had an opportunity to share with someone not too long ago about our Trail Life and AHG program. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but there wasn't ever like a full-on desire to host something like that here at Grace Fellowship Church. We have a lot of students that come to this church. We have large families. We have excited people. It's great to see the students as they filter out of this place. It's incredible. But to have a Trail Life and AHG program, American Heritage Girls, was not really like, when are we going to actually get a chance to do that? About 10 or 15 years ago, could be off by a little bit, we had something called the Awana program, and we did something like that for a while, and that was great. It wasn't the exact fit that we were looking for, and that was the end of the Awana program, but it was a great program. We had a great time doing it. But then there arose a need within our community. Without getting all into the detail and the background, there was something that was happening within the culture of Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts that those of us who were wanting to raise godly kids and just really continue to stay with the values that were important to us, we saw that Trail Life and AHG were going to be able to fit into that. And then Matt and Nikki came across it and they said, hey, there's this thing. What do you think about us doing this program? What if we offered this to the community? So we began to pray about it and talk about it and look at it. And now we are seeing a program that is actually in the process of being a program that positively speaks into the lives of the students of this community. And see, what that is doing something and saying, God, just like what God was saying through Paul to the church in Thessalonica, there's some things that you're doing well, but don't forget, keep on doing those things. Keep on doing those things. There's even the process that We had gone through with the discipleship communities with Aaron and Vogue, and they're wanting to see some real community develop within the concept that we had here of small groups. And there was this idea of what we really want to do is be able to get to know people within the church and to have some serious, dedicated, set-aside time to sit down and break bread and fellowship and do some Bible studies, have our kids playing, have conversations with adults. Let's get this thing together and let's see where it goes. And now we begin to see that a church that was based upon fellowship is happening on all kinds of different levels. The things that are going well, let's continue to do things according to the will of the Lord. And I tell you that because it's important for you to see that a community only functions in as well as there is buy-in to what's happening within that community. The community of Grace Fellowship Church is desiring to see change happen in the hearts and the lives of those who call Titusville their home. This is the town that Grace Fellowship was planted in, and we desire to reach out, touch hearts, and change lives. That's our heart. That's our passion. And when I read things like this and that Paul is saying to the church in Thessalonica, that's exactly where I feel God is funneling us into, is that there is a place where we can say, we don't have it all figured out. I would never want anyone to think that we have it all figured out. But man, all bumps, scrapes, and bruises, here we come. We're going to do this thing called church. We're not perfect. I am not perfect. I know you're shocked. I was hoping you'd be more shocked than that. But the reality is, the perfection that God is looking for is something that is hard for those outside of the body of Christ to even define. Because as soon as you start using words like perfect, people get a little nervous. But here's what happens is I am perfect in my brokenness. I am perfect in my brokenness. I am extremely humbled when I know that God desires to use anything that I am connected with. Watch how he ties this together for them, and then we'll see. I wanted to share something really exciting with you. In 1 Thessalonians, let's go down. Okay, I got turned around for a second. So in verse 9, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone. Chapter 4, verse 9. Verse 10 now. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you. I want you to know that we're coming into a season at Grace Fellowship where there is ample opportunities for community. Our DC groups, if you've ever had a chance to even speak with Aaron and Vogue, they're in the back there. If you want to get connected with something that's going to bring you tight into fellowship, I encourage you to do that. If you're a single mom, Ashley was here making some announcements. Are you still here, Ashley? Yes, she is. She's right there. We have a moms group that meets, and they do Bible study together, and they come and they meet here, and they pray together, and they encourage one another. Our men's group is getting ready to start back up again. We've been on break for the summer, so we could spend time with our families, but our men's group is about to get rolling again. We have our youth ministry that's out right now, and some things that are really exciting are taking place there. We've seen the youth ministry grow, and about a year ago, talk about moving prayerfully and slowly, you know, Brent and Kelly came to me and they said, there's this amazing couple that's been working with us, and we think that they could do some more things. I said, okay, we'll look into that. 10 months later, we know that God has set aside Josh and Becca Jones to be involved with our junior high ministry. And they're there right now in tents and worshiping and mentoring and building relationship with your students that are in 7th and 8th grade. 7th, 8th, and 9th grade is going to be our junior high ministry. What an incredible opportunity that is to be able to say we specifically are going to be speaking in to students that are in junior high. We have a couple that is dedicated to seeing them have a godly relationship, have them have godly relationships with each other, have them be a positive influence, whether it's at home or their schools or wherever they are in life right now, that Josh and Becca are a couple that's going to be praying over them. Brent and Kelly, pray over your students. They love your students. We see now, too, that our children's ministry has taken on a life of its own. And when our students leave this room, many times, the number of people in this sanctuary is cut in half. There have been times when we said, students, you can now go to your classes. And close, I don't know if we've actually broken this number just yet, but close to 70 students get up and walk out of here and go into a class. We are looking at things that we can do to better reach that group on Sunday mornings. My wife spoke to you just a few moments ago and she held up a gold piece of paper. I would love for you to do what that paper said. That paper is actually asking you, if you have a student, let us know their name, what grade they're going into. We're about to do Move Up Sunday. Move Up Sunday's coming, and on Move Up Sunday, we're going to be setting in Josh and Becca as our junior high youth leaders. That's going to be an exciting day. But on that gold piece of paper, if you have a student that's involved in our children's program, we encourage you to fill that thing out. Let us know their age, their birthday. We want to celebrate them. We want to make sure they get moved into the right class. But then there's a little section on that piece of paper that my wife so quietly came to me and said, I don't know, you know, should we do this? And I'm not going to give you a conversation I had with my wife, but just know that she was prayerfully considering, should I even put this on this at this particular time? But if you have a student that's involved in our children's program, or you're an uncle or an aunt or a grandparent, whatever demographic you might be in with that, would you be willing to come and to hear what is happening in our children's ministry? And just like Alexa said, it's not necessarily saying, I am fully committed and I'm going to do this thing, or even to say that it's going to be a good fit for you. There might be some things that aren't a good fit for you, but you would at least be able to be on board with us and see what's happening. And then what's taking place is the next phase that we're moving into with our building is going to be all about our students. We're not about building a bigger sanctuary with cooler stuff in it that we don't necessarily need right now. But what we know we need is we need a place for 68 students to be meeting on Sunday morning. And I think that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And right now they're in 3 classrooms. So I don't know how, I mean, I don't know how many people are in here right now. But if I divided you all up and like squeezed you into 3 classrooms, you'd be ready to go home right now. But over the next few months, in our board meeting and in our elders meetings, we're just going to be looking at this. We're going to be asking the Lord, you know, how do we proceed? What do we do? We're not a church that just likes to build things and do things that aren't necessary. But over the next few months, this is exactly the direction that we're looking at going. God has definitely blessed this small rural church with an amazing influence into students' lives, and I love it. I was hired as the youth leader in 1996. Those of you who don't know that, that's what brought me into Grace Fellowship Church. And I always, I still see myself sometimes as a youth leader. I love going to their conferences. I love hanging out with them. I go there. I went there last night. And the only thing that I'm actually not a camper. I don't do, sleeping on the ground and all that kind of stuff. That's not my thing. But I'll hang out with them and throw them in the pond all day long. But what we have to see is that God has brought something right to the doorstep. And each one of you has a place and a role and an opportunity that you can do in that. And I want to encourage you that as we look in for the rest of 2021 going into 2022, that's crazy. That sounds like we should be like exploring the stars or something. Are we? We are. Okay. I told you, things move slow here in Titusville. Please don't ever put me on a commercial flight to space. I'll stay right here on the ground. But anyway, as we begin to move through these things, as I was reading through these things that Paul was charging to the church in Thessalonica, is there are some things that Grace Fellowship Church has always done really well. And from the first moment that I walked into this church, the thing that I noticed was a huge population of students has always been here. Always been here. And that's a blessing. We want to make sure that we have opportunity to pour into their lives, to keep them engaged, and to let them know how much God loves them and to pour into their lives. If you have anything within you that even just sparks a little bit of an interest, we'd love for you to come and hang out and see what's going on in our children's ministry. I encourage you to do that. This morning, they're packing up some of their camp stuff. And they had their church service last night. I came in at the tail end of it. And one of the things that just really stood out to me, and I'll close with this verse with you this morning, is that as we begin to see the unfolding of the plan of God, not only in our lives, but as the body of Christ, I believe that we're going to see a transformation within ourselves. There's an excitement that comes from being a part of this move with God. And look at what I mean with this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. Are you ready? As for you, do not grow weary in doing good. As for you, do not grow weary in doing good. And I would ask you today to keep your eye on what God has called you to do. And you would say, maybe this morning you're saying, I'm not sure what God has called me to do. Something that Paul encourages each church, and we could go through and highlight them maybe at another time. But if someone that Paul was writing to didn't know what their place was, he said, well, you could at least start by imitating me. Follow Christ the way that I do. And I would encourage you, if you're looking, you're saying, I don't know what God has called me to do. Guess what? You're a part of a church that believes that God has called them to reach out, to touch hearts and change lives. If you're on a journey and you're looking for what God has called you to do, the best thing that you could do is get plugged in with somebody who's going somewhere and believes God has called them. That's good stuff right there. Get involved and say, God, I don't even know how you can use me in this moment. I don't know how I can do anything outside of myself. I need some direction, some guidance on this. I encourage you to get involved in some of the things that are taking place at Grace Fellowship Church. Now, to you, this may have sounded like a big advertisement for what's happening here. It's not. It's an encouragement for you to know that when the body of Christ is singularly minded towards a specific goal, that there is unity in that goal. We come together as the body of Christ. So this morning, I would encourage you along those lines to say, how can I get unified with the body of Christ? I encourage you today to not just be saying, well, I'm going to wait and see what God speaks to me about. And there's value in that. There's purpose in that. It's very important for you to listen for the voice of God. But during that season where you're waiting and you're listening, then I would say, by all means, get involved and see and practice and move and what it takes to be a part of it. Pretty soon, I'm not sure how soon yet, there's going to be additional things that are going to be needed for what we're calling now the Hope Project. There's going to be an opportunity for you at some point down in the future to see exactly what the Lord is doing with that. Coming up very quickly is our live nativity. We spend months getting ready for our live nativity. Opportunity to reach out, touch hearts, and change lives. This has not been a quiet summer at Grace Fellowship Church. meetings and prayers and things have been going on every single Wednesday night. This church is open for prayer from 7 to 8:30. It's open to everybody. It's not an exclusive group. You can come in and you can pray with us. We pray for the church. We pray for the community. We pray for various needs that are going on within the church itself. Opportunities abound for us to be able to say, God, I want to just see exampled for me what it means to be plugged in and to be a part of what the body of Christ is doing today. That's my heart for you. That's my heart for you, because it can seem like sometimes, I don't know, sometimes you get disconnected from what's happening. You don't realize there's this whole thing that's going on all around us. And that's the life and the spectrum. And I'm sure that there's some other areas of ministry that maybe I didn't even get to this morning. But there are places where you can get plugged in. And you can get ample opportunities. I didn't even touch on the International School of Ministry. They're getting ready to launch into a new season for that. ISUM is something that is very powerfully a part of what we do here. And we... I'm not going to give dates. I know the dates and I know what's going on, but I want to give Scott and Babs an opportunity to share with you that Dr. Baron Gilfillan is in fact going to come and share here at Grace Fellowship Church. I'm excited about that. He emailed us from Greece. He's like, we're in Greece right now, but we can't wait to come to Titusville. You know that's God. In Greece, and they can't wait to come here. God is good. Can we stand together? I want to encourage you this morning that as we come into this recognition that God is doing powerful things all around us, and all that we need to do is to say, God, I'm available. I want to be a part of that. There's Bible studies that are happening. There's small groups that are taking place. And if you're in that position where you're just like on this journey, I'm not sure what's going on, all you have to do is allow us an opportunity to kind of point you in the right direction. Say, hey, it sounds like this would be a good fit or that would be a good fit, because God desires for each and every one of us to walk out in the fullness of what he has for us. Father, we come before you this morning, and I am so grateful for a body of Christ that is, they're doing some things right. We are doing some things right. But Father, help us not to get stagnant. Help us not to get comfortable. Keep us constantly changing and growing in you, Father. I pray that just these amazing opportunities of ministry that are flowing from this place, it is not because of the masses. It is because of the calling. It is because of the purpose. It is because of the unity in the body of Christ. And Father, I pray this morning that you would just spark us together as a unified body at Grace Fellowship Church, that we desire to see this community positively affected in following after you. We thank you and praise you for all that you're doing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Isn't God good? I love it. Amen. Praise